This is Blue July, and you're listening to the Be Someone podcast. Lights looking bright, the H got the vibe. She's my name on the signs, it's my time to shine. When I was cruising 45 and it crossed my mind that I shine like the sun and that I'll be someone.
Lights, camera, session, use the flow molasses. Blue July, my fashion, future bright and glasses. Applause from the masses.
This is the Be Someone podcast.
Welcome everyone to the Be Someone podcast. This is your host, the coach Chris Ortiz. And today in studio, we have Caleb Smith from College Park. This wrestler from College Park is amongst one of the best in the entire state of Texas. He's had three very successful seasons, coming really close to clinching that state title. And he's looking to go get that crown his senior year. Now, Caleb's come across a little bit of adversity as of late in that state championship. He tore his shoulder and required a little bit of surgery. Now, this may have been a blessing in disguise, because now Caleb is hungry as ever. His sights are set at the crown, and I've got this suspicion that he may just be very successful when it comes to obtaining the championship. He's got a room full of monsters to train with. He's got a family that's got his back and loves and supports him, and one hell of a coaching staff between College Park and the Boneyard. So if you could, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Be Someone podcast with the coach Chris Ortiz and Caleb Smith. Take care, have a blessed one, and go out and be that someone. A special thanks to our sponsors at the Be Someone podcast. We have Manuel Molina and the Molina team. He's an independent contractor at Remax Spring the Woodlands. For all your residential and commercial property needs, contact Manuel at www.themolinateam.com or 281-507-6923. Remember, our greatest compliment is your referral. Power Plus Athletic Training System, pioneered by the Marinovich brothers and perfected by Brian McGinney. Power Plus is a training system that utilizes anatomical and biomechanical principles to build the athlete from the foot up. You can reach Brian McGinty at powerplus.com or 713-702-0487. Remember, at Power Plus, we train at the speed of the game. We have Action Psychological Services, Dr. Jesse Robinson at Action Psychological Services. We are about helping our clients live rich and meaningful lives. While emotional pain is a part of the human experience, it can be managed effectively. Dr. Robinson uses an eclectic approach by using evidence-based modalities. They offer individual and group therapy, as well as performance enhancement services. You can reach Dr. Jesse Robinson at actionpsychologicalservices.com or 346-831-2862. We have Shrunk 3D, the world's first mobile 3D scanning studio. At Shrunk 3D, customers are scanned inside the booth, and a 3D replica is printed and shipped within 3 weeks. Some of the customers include the Texas Renaissance Festival, Comic Palooza, and the Bridal Extravaganza. You can find them at www.shrunk3d.com/DT Houston, or you could call Aaliyah Burns at 979-255-6272. And finally, we have Gracie Baja the Woodlands. Come visit Houston's largest MMA gym. Gracie Baja the Woodlands has been operating in the Woodlands for over 15 years. Head coach Alex Morano and the team strive to provide a training environment which is safe and clean, that promotes a lifestyle of balance, friendship, and personal growth. We offer kids and adults Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Muay Thai classes. You can find them at MMAthewoodlands.com or you can call them at 832-888-4810. Thank you to our sponsors. Y'all give them a holler, and thanks for listening to the Be Someone podcast. Hey, welcome everyone to the Be Someone podcast. This is your host, the coach, Chris Ortiz, and I'm sitting here with Caleb, with a K, Smith. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I am glad that we're here because you got dropped off at the wrong house.
I did.
I warned you about that. I said, hey, so make sure you're going to the right house, man. That MapQuest is always sending people over to the wrong spot, and I'll be darned, you were... Did you knock on their door?
No, I walked up and I was talking. I saw a dude over the fence with Kalina pulled like, that does not look like Coach Ortiz.
No, man. We don't need you getting shot, man.
No.
Things are crazy nowadays, man. People are shooting and then asking questions later. But you made it, man. So I appreciate you. So I called you over, man, on the pod because, number one, like, I love your family, man. Your dad is the mayor of the Woodlands. He's like Vince Vaughn. You got a really cool mom. You know, she's an educator. She's a principal over there at Oak Ridge. And you got your two sisters. You got the volleyball player. And then you got the other wrestler, Kenzie and Kylie. And then you got a state champion brother, too, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right, great.
According to you, like, you can still take him, man, even with a bum shoulder.
I got him.
But it's a wonderful family. You're in a wonderful wrestling program under Coach Eric Spute. And, you know, you, just in general, you're a high achiever. You've, you know, finished super well. Right now you got a little bit of adversity, you know, staring you in the eyes right now going into your senior year. And I just kind of want to pick your brain. So thanks for coming over.
No problem. I mean, I've always wanted to do a podcast. This is great.
Yes, I'm not Rogan, but I do know jiu-jitsu. So let's talk about you coming up, man. Tell me, what kind of kid were you?
I mean, always energetic, super talkative. I could basically talk to anybody at any time, any point. Like, you could drop me in the middle of just a bunch of people, and I'd talk to every single one of them there.
And you make friends with the wall.
I would 100% would.
Yeah, one of the things I remember about you at Knox Junior High was that you would pass by the room all the time, and you would tell me, you know, about your wrestling tournaments and stuff, and I was always wondering, like, who is this little guy? But he was so kind, you know, so cordial. Very forthcoming, always greeted me with the handshake. I was like, you know, I like this kid. There's something about him. You know, he's a special kid. Always got some good energy. People like him. And quick to make conversation. So I would say, like, on the educational side, like, your teachers liked you, man. You still a teacher's pet over there at CP?
I mean, I don't say a teacher's pet, but I mean, I'm on their good side.
Yeah, well, what do you attribute that to? Like, tell me a little bit about your family, your mom and your dad. Let's start with mom first. Mother's Day.
My mom does help out a lot with my grades. She always pushes me to keep A's and B's, high B's, trying to keep those grades up. She always reminds me on projects because, you know, sometimes I can forget them. But she's always getting the emails and everything and pushing me to be good in school, good grades. I mean, she's also a big contributor to wrestling. But
really?
Yeah. It's more my dad is the contributor to wrestling for me.
Well, what... attributes do you think that you get from your mother?
Well, I mean, I can say I get both. Like, I get a lot of both. They're fairly similar traits from the both of them. I mean, like, hard work, determination, like, just, I mean, whatever you can put your mind to, I feel like I get it from both of them. If I can put my mind to it, I can.
Yeah, yeah.
I can get to it.
There's an interesting juxtaposition, though. Like, when I meet your mom, you know, serious, a little more calm, cool, and collected, you know, more the... I see principal in her, even if I didn't know her. And I saw her, I said, man, that's a principal right there. But then your pops, man. Your pops is something else, man. Big energy, Vince Vaughn, life of the party. Tell me about your dad.
Well, like you said, he's a life of the party. That's where I get, I feel like I can talk to anybody with. I mean, I get my looks from him. I can tell that. I have his face. But he's great. It's always, he's always nice to have around. Cheer you up, even no matter how down you get. He's always there. Always there on my side.
Yeah, did he have, like, a wrestling background, or...?
No, he never actually did wrestling. He was a football player.
Yeah, he looks like one. He's a big guy.
D1 college football player.
Where'd he play at?
Murray State.
All right, that's in Oklahoma, correct?
I'm not 100% sure where it's at, but it might be in Oklahoma.
He doesn't got any old jerseys hanging up in the house?
No, he's got a picture, but I haven't really... It's in his study, so I don't really stare at that too often.
That's cool, man. That's cool. So you do got some Division I, you know, athlete running through your veins.
Yes, sir.
What about the role of your brother? You got an older brother. We mentioned earlier that he was a state champion at CP. Tell me a little bit about your brother.
Well, it's great. It was great having him around. He came back this Wednesday from college, so that's great to have him back. it's always great having a brother, always somebody, like a built-in friend. It was kind of like, it's awesome. He can push you. He keeps me to working out, even if I don't want to. He'll drag me out of bed if he has to go get me to work out. So it's great.
Yeah, it's something that I've noticed is that when you have siblings, especially siblings that are super close in age, sometimes like that could be the best asset for an athlete to have. Like you have John Jones and he had, you know, two other brothers, right? And I believe both of them were in the NFL.
Yeah, Chandler Jones is still playing.
Okay, so you know about this.
Yes.
Tell me how iron sharpens iron with y'all two. Like, go back in the day, like, before high school, before y'all are wrestling. Like, what was it like growing up with a brother like that?
It would start off with me hitting him, and then a bigger thumb, and then I'd go downstairs. So, basically, it was always fighting. It was always, I would mess with him, he would mess with me back, and then I couldn't handle it. But, I mean, over time, you build up the resistance to it, and it makes you tougher and stronger.
Yeah, so you were the one starting the fights?
Always.
What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know. I was not very smart.
And where's he wrestling at? I think it's Colorado School of
Mines? Yes, Colorado School of Mines.
How did his first year go?
He was in varsity, but he was in he was battling for the spot. He almost got it, but I think he had like two or three losses this year. So yeah. he did really good. A kid that he, I think he pinned him, I'm pretty sure, but a kid that he lost to at Reno, which is a really big national tournament. They had a really close match, and he ended up pinning him whenever they wrestled again.
So he had a little payback.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember your dad talking to me about this, too. Like, the kid beat him on points.
Yeah.
But then your brother came back and pinned him.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think this was a match that he blew his shoe out. So there's a long break in between that. They were trying to tape his shoe or find different shoes or something. But, yeah, I feel like he still could have won the match, the close one, if the shoe didn't blow out. Because that's like a big mind-boggle thing. Stops the match, slows everything down.
Yeah, tell me, like, where does the interest in wrestling come from? Like, where did y'all start? If your dad, you know, didn't wrestle, that tells me, like, y'all probably got that influence from somewhere else.
So, Coach Brett from the Woodlands, he actually moved. So, I have two Coach Bretts. Both my coaches have been named Coach Brett in youth. But my first one, he taught me for my first 2 years, but he got a college job up in Illinois. He had a son playing on my brother's football team.
And what was his name? Coach Brett?
Sammy.
His last name was Sammy?
Brett Gerard. Sammy Gerard was his son.
I know Coach Brett Gerard. Coach Brett Gerard used to be at Gracie Baja the Woodlands, and that is a tough SOB over there. Holy smokes.
Yeah, so my brother was on a team with his son, and my dad, he's like, that looks like a double leg takedown. So he's like looking around trying to find the dad, and he's like, yeah, you should come down to the Woodlands, I run a program there for the youth, so we started off there.
Holy smokes, man. So what kind of a coach was Brett Gerard on the mats? Like, that guy used to drop the hammer on me, man, with his wrestling.
I mean, I was young, so he took it pretty easy on us. It wasn't crazy hard because I was second grade. So it's not like he was cussing at us, yelling at us. It wasn't anything crazy. So it was, I mean, for a youth kid, it's still intense practices because it's first time wrestling, but yeah, it was a good program.
Yeah, and he was fairly intense, but, you know, to your point, I don't think I ever heard the guy cuss too much or anything. No. Not cuss out of anger now. It looks like if
you got him angry, he would. Yes. But yeah, I feel like he has a very long fuse. It'll take forever to get him to snap at you.
Yeah, but if that fuse burns and then it gets down to the bottom, holy hell.
I would not want to be on the wrong end of that guy.
No, funny story, like there was one time that I was gonna take an MMA fight, and there's a bunch of us, and Coach Brett was one of the other ones, and I thank the good Lord that it didn't happen, man. It fell through for whatever reason, because I sure as heck wasn't ready. But man, forever, like I'll think of Coach Brett for all the time he dropped the hammer on me. He showed me the value of some good solid wrestling. Golly, where's he at now?
I don't know if he's in Illinois still, but I think he might be in Oklahoma now. I'm not sure.
Golly, because the last I heard, I think he was out on the East Coast somewhere, like out in Virginia.
Oh, yeah, he is in, that's it. Yep, Virginia, that's it.
Yeah, well, good man. Certain. Got a lot of respect for Coach Brett, and that's really cool that we have that connection, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Now tell me, the other coach that takes over.
So, Coach Brett, so whenever he moved, so like we needed, my dad was like, so if we're going to take this seriously, we got to find a new coach. So he was driving out trying to find all these different programs that they had. And we found Boneyard out in Magnolia. And it was at the time, it was a super small One, it was basically him, his son, and a few other people. There wasn't a lot of people there. But, so, me, and two of my friends, my brother, we all showed up there. We started practicing there, and I went there from third grade to the rest of my youth career. So, down there, that was, I mean, his practices were more intense. Like, he would yell at you. Like, he would snap at you, quit. Like, you messed up on something, you should get snapped at. He puts you in the middle. He's like, show your move, and he corrects every little thing you did wrong. So his coaching style is completely different than his. But, I mean, it's a great coaching style because it teaches you to try to pick up every little thing and keep your eyes focused whenever you're trying to – whenever you're showing moves. So whenever you go out, you're practicing it correct and building correct muscle memory.
Wow, so you were out there kind of like at the genesis of the whole Boneyard movement.
Very first, yeah.
Where y'all at now as far as, like, the number of kids, number of athletes?
Oh, I haven't been there in forever, but, I mean, it's huge now. I think they got two different gyms now. So they have two different facilities that they train at.
That's pretty neat to know that, like, you were there to help build it. You know, you may not have necessarily been coaching, but having you and your brother over there and then the success that y'all have had, like, it's made other people, you know, want to come in. Is there anyone else helping out over there at the Boneyard? Because I've heard a lot of good things. Like, every time I look at my social media, one of y'all kids at the Boneyard is typically doing something pretty good.
Yeah, so actually there's a guy from a Russia area.
Oh, man.
I trained with him over quarantine a little bit. He actually doesn't run tough practices. He's really big on just straight technique, slow practices, doing everything super slow, getting your technique right. Like, he doesn't want you doing weight training. He wants you to do straight just body weight workouts, cardio, swimming, stuff like that.
All right. And does that style, like, do you feel like it translates? Do you feel like it's a mixture of that style and the Camden style that when you bring it together?
Every style is amazing because everything teaches you a different thing. So his style is more intense practices, go, 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 but you got to make sure you have the right technique. So it's good for trying to translate to matches. But his style is good for trying to figure out the moves, trying to get them, like, work on your technique before you start going. So, like, you can do those practices, figure out your technique. Whenever you go to one of their practices, you can pick it up the pace, keep going, get your pace up, knowing how fast you want to do things.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but y'all do pretty well when y'all go out on the state and the regional and the national level. Like, the Boneyard represents pretty good.
I don't know. Yeah, I think we might have won state my eighth grade year, but I'm not 100% sure. But, I mean, we've had some really great years. Like, we are very small, where we were whenever I was there. We were pretty small, just, like, go be the hammer type of team. Like, the few people that we brought would, like, win or get really high on the podium.
All right. And tell me, like, whenever y'all do go out on that national level, like, what other states have incredibly strong wrestling? Because Texas is relatively new to wrestling.
Yeah, like, they're not the best. Most southern states aren't very good.
Okay.
The further north you go, like Ohio, Pennsylvania, stuff like those type of, like, that area is really good.
Why is that? I know that Texas, again, it's new. It's like 99, I think, is when it came to Texas public schools.
So I'm not sure if this is true, but what I've heard is because it's smaller. So, like, all sorts of people go to all sorts of different clubs and get all sorts of different types of people that they train with.
Yeah.
So they train with, like, everybody. Like, they just get all sorts of different type of people to train with. Like, people that they normally wrestle, like, they can go and train with. Like, we're in the same room with them.
What are the different styles, too? Because that's something I'm not too familiar with. I know there's freestyle, Greco.
Oh, yeah. So folk style is, like, only done in America. It's only basically just an American style of wrestling. Freestyle Greco is the Olympic style of wrestling. So freestyle and folk style, you're allowed to touch the legs. But in Greco, you can't touch the legs, like, at all. You can get hips, but you can't touch legs at all.
Okay. And which one do you find to be, like, your go-to or your fave? Where do you see yourself with the most potential?
Everybody calls me Weird Fist, but I love folk style. Like, all my friends in the room say they love freestyle or Greco better. I don't know why. I just can't get into it. I love folk style. Folk style is what I like.
And that's the one above the waist, correct?
Folk style is the one that we normally do. That's what Texas does, the USA does.
All right. And is that where you see, like, your future, like, moving in that direction? Is that, like, where a majority of the wrestling is done here in the U.S.?
Yeah, college wrestling for men is folk style.
Who are some people that you look up to in the wrestling world? Like, there's got to be some wrestlers that you try to model your game after, just like some kids want to model their basketball game after LeBron or Jordan or Allen Iverson. Who does a Caleb model his wrestling game after?
I mean, I won't say I model it, but, I mean, Spencer Lee, He's awesome. Like, his determination is crazy. He won a national championship with 2 torn ACLs.
When was this? This year?
Last year.
Holy smokes.
This year, it kind of went downhill for him. He got pinned in the semis. But last year, he had 2 torn ACLs and won the
NCAA. How the heck do you get cleared to wrestle with 2
torn ACLs? I don't think he was. I don't think he said anything. He had 2 big old knee braces, like big old leg braces, and he just went out and wrestled, and then after, he had to go get surgery.
You see, that's the thing about wrestlers. It's a little bit different. Like, you hear stories like that. I hear stories of Kurt Angle winning a gold medal with a broken neck. Mm-hmm. You hear, you know, Spencer Lee winning a collegiate national championship with 2 torn up knees. Like, what are some other stories that you've heard like that?
I haven't heard too many, but, I mean,
we got, you know, Caleb Smith out there at the state championships wrestling with a torn shoulder, torn labrum. I mean, that stuff, you know, like when y'all get cut, y'all get bloodied up, y'all just throw tape on it and keep going, right?
Yeah, I mean, what I end up doing is if I get a bloody nose, I wipe it, plug it in, because, like, I know my cardio is better than majority of the people there. So whenever the way Coach Butte trains is really high cardio. So I know I can, like, outpace just about anybody I wrestle. So if I can get that nose plug in as fast as possible and get back out there, and they're still tired and I'm not tired yet, I can keep pushing the pace and keep scoring points before I get tired.
Well, let's talk about the College Park program, man. I saw something interesting today. Y'all were given, like, Houston's team of the year.
Yeah.
Is this across all sports? Or is this for wrestling?
I'm not sure, but I just saw it on the way over here, yeah. I'm not sure if we won it for all sports, but I know it's for sure wrestling. I know that, but, like, I'm not sure.
Well, either way, you know, like, that's an amazing honor. And the way that I read it, it looked like it was, like, for every sport in the city of Houston, that the College Park wrestling program was the top dog.
Yeah, I mean, we won plenty of tournaments this year. Like, I think we won just about every tournament that was located in Houston. Like, I don't know if we lost any. I mean, we sent our entire JV team to a tournament. I think they got, like, 7th at the tournament. Damn. And this year at state, we got 3rd at state this year.
Yeah, and, you know, y'all travel small, right? But y'all come back with big results. What do you attribute the College Park wrestling program's success for? Obviously, you know, it's the disputes, right? Like,
yes.
Eric and Lindsay, like, they're obviously wonderful coaches. I think both were state champions.
Yes, they were. Yeah. I think Coach Butte, I think he's a 3-time. He might have won it his freshman year, but I'm fairly certain he won it 3 times. Sophomore, senior year.
Yeah, and I was surprised. Like, I knew Lindsay wrestled, but then I saw that she was also a state champion. I was like, holy smokes, man.
Both college wrestlers.
Yeah, that's nuts. Tell me, like, what's it like inside of the CP wrestling room? Because to me, it seems like y'all got a couple of coaches that, if they wanted to, they can go coach at the college level.
Oh, yeah. It is great having them in there. Always pushing you, keeping you going. They call you out on your wrongs in practice. Make sure you're not being lazy, being down on yourself. Making sure you push yourself the entirety of practice.
What does an intense day at practice look like?
Ugh, tons and tons of cardio, like, just nonstop, like, no breaks in between, like, drills. Like, it's basically, like, you go from one drill to the next drill to the next drill. Like, there's just no stopping. And then you get your break to go get some water before live, and you just go and go and go. And then we go straight into cardio, a bunch of sprints.
Okay, so, like, it's a mixture of drilling, it's a mixture of calisthenics or, you know, exercises to get that heart pumping. What's the toughest part of y'all's practices? I attended one of y'all's practice one day just to see what it was like. And I got to the end. We got to the baby crawls.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds nuts, but, man, I had to go and throw up after that. I made it about 95% of the way through, and then I went and threw up.
Yeah, so I would say the last live go, especially depending on which number you were in your order of the group, but the last live go can be awful, because especially if you're the last person to go.
What's a live go? Talk to me.
So it's basically like a wrestling match. But, like, sometimes there's rules. Like, it's, you get a takedown, you have to go straight back to your feet. Sometimes you can wrestle all the way through. Sometimes it's just a top and bottom go. So it's basically just wrestling a match.
Yeah, some situational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that Coach Eric does, you believe, that separates, you know, him from some of the other coaches? Because there's obviously, like, something he's doing differently, because every year he's producing a state champion. And then if he's not producing a state champion, there's just, like, a... When he's not, he's got a bunch of kids that are right there, you know, ready to clinch it, and they're on the cusp. You know, much like yourself, like,
yeah,
you didn't get it this year, your junior year, but you were right there knocking at the door, you know. And twist of fate here, not an injured shoulder there, and you're standing at the top of the podium. What is he doing differently?
Always pushing you. He's always, like I said, he's always pushing you, making sure you're doing the best you possibly can at all moments.
Is he just like a little tyrant, or does he mix in like the love and the admiration and the patting you on the back? Or is it always just go, 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 go?
He mixes it in. Like, there's times that he can make you feel better. Like, if you're like being down, he can help you cheer you up. But there's also times that he just makes sure you got to keep going and pushing.
Man, that's interesting. Does he ever get on the mat with y'all? You know, and work with y'all?
All the time. All the time. He's always there with us.
Really? He throws a singlet on, or does he just get some shorts?
No, he just wrestles in his normal workout clothes.
All right, man. Hey, thanks, Coach, for not throwing the singlet on.
that would not be fun.
Yeah, I imagine if the singlet comes out, someone's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. I'm lucky I haven't had a singlet yet.
Well, that's hilarious, man. Does he still got it?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely still got it.
He still got some, man. Is there anyone that ever, their ego gets the best of them, and they're like, I'm going to go test Coach today? You got any good stories like that?
I just got to say Caillou. Caillou, you know Caillou?
Heck, dude, I remember Caillou when he was 5 years old, and he was beating up on my son at Gracie Bob.
He was actually my first ever practice partner at the Woodlands. He was my first ever practice partner.
He's a little buzzsaw. Is he still a buzzsaw?
Like, he is crazy.
You were about to cuss and say, fuck yeah.
He is crazy.
Talk to me. Tell me a little bit about Caillou, because, again, I remember him as a 5 or 6 year old, and the one thing that I remember about Caillou is focused.
His mindset. He has an amazing mindset. He's always focused. He's always doing stuff to make him better. He's always got all sorts of coaches that he knows, all sorts of coaches that he practices with. He gets different point of views from like 3 different coaches. Like, he gets all sorts of different point of views and what can help him get better. Like, he has just so many connections.
How close did he get to winning state this year? Or did he win state?
He got second, but it was so close. Like, there were so many, like, calls that could have given him an escape or a takedown that would have won him the match.
And they didn't give it to him.
And they didn't. But that's every wrestling match. There's every wrestling match that there's just a few calls that could have been called differently that could have won you the match. But, I mean, it was such a close match. And it was an amazing match.
Oh, man. I bet you he is motivated as hell right now.
Mm-hmm. That moment after he lost and we were about to get on the podium, that I have a moment with him right there. It was amazing. Like, it was after I had I was in a sling, my shoulder was torn. He had just lost and we were about to get on the podium, and man, like, he just broke down because I know how much that meant to him.
Yeah.
And it meant so much to me for him to win it too, because, like, I've been his pro drill partner for majority of the year.
Man, so is he, like, he was he also a junior, or is he a sophomore?
He's a sophomore.
Oh, man.
So he's got two more years. He's gonna be a two timer. I'm calling it now.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go ahead and call it right now too. You could tell, like, again, at the age of 5 or 6, like, his focus was different. A lot of kids have athleticism. A lot of kids, you know, are fast, quick, smart, but he was extremely focused. And I was talking to Coach Jake. He's one of our instructors over there at Gracie Baja the Woodlands. He's a black belt. He's a pro fighter. Got, you know, quite a few wins under his belt. And he was saying that he invited Caillou and the boys over, and he said Caillou was putting him on his back every once in a blue moon. He said he had to bust out his man strength to really go at him.
Yeah, he always takes it too, Coach Pew. Like, I don't know how he does it. Like, I can keep going for a little bit, and then all of a sudden I just snap and I break, and I just don't know what I'm doing there. And I get put in a, like, such a bad position where I don't know what I'm doing. But Caillou just knows how to wrestle out of every position. Like, you can put him in any position, and he'll know how to wrestle out of it. Like, I just don't know how he does it.
Yeah, maybe the focus, man. Who knows, man? Who knows? But good parents, I know that. Super supportive. Let's talk about your run during state, man, because one of the neat things that made me want to talk to you is that you had a run during state where you're having a hell of a season. I think you went through the season with maybe like 1 or 2 losses, and then you get to the state championships. How many people are actually at state whenever y'all wrestle?
It's a 16-man bracket, so it's only 16 people.
So 16 of the best people across the state, and it's all, like, done, is it a 1 day or 2 days? It's a 2 day.
It's a 2 day tournament.
And on both days, like, y'all are forced to make weight, right?
Yes.
Like, and what are you wrestling at right now? I'm looking at you, and I'm gonna guess. Let's see if I get close. I'm gonna guess your wrestling weight, not your weight right now.
Okay. 30? 32, so yes. Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Where are you at right now?
I mean, the last time I stepped on a scale, I was 150.
Okay, which is that kind of normal?
During season, I probably weigh like 138. Like, I would maintain my weight. Like, I don't let myself get up much more than like 6-7 pounds over, because I don't like cutting tons of weight. Like, if I can and I can maintain a lower weight and I let myself jump up by eating bad, like, if I can just eat good and maintain that weight, I mean, that's what I'm going to do, because I love to keep my weight down and make the weight cut easier so I feel better during matches.
Well, it's very stressful on your body, correct?
Yes.
And I don't think a lot of people take into consideration what we're talking about is the weight cut. In wrestling, these kids or these young people, they show up on the morning of, and if they're supposed to wrestle at 132 pounds, like when they step on the scale, are y'all given a 1 pound allowance or
after Thanksgiving is the happiest like day of my life because we get an extra 2 pounds.
Okay, so the tournament directors give you an extra 2 pounds.
For the rest of the season. So after Thanksgiving, for the rest of the year, you get 2 pounds.
Well, man, that's nice because y'all are still physically growing, you know, and I've got to think that somehow, some way, this is stunning growth a tad.
I mean, my growth, I feel like I start growing, like, right during the state run. Like, I feel like every year I start right at the state run is whenever I start to grow. So it's tough for me because I start growing up and I have to start, like, trying to shrink myself down and stay down with that weight. And then right after state hits, I shoot up. Well, that's what happened to me. 3 days after state, I was weighing, like, 150. 145.
Okay, that was going to be my next question then. Like, what's the most weight that you've had to cut prior to a tournament?
I don't know. I mean, I have no clue, to be honest with you. Okay. There's times that I just, like, will be like, oh, looks like I'm over. Got to go cut weight, so.
It's just something you're used to at this point.
Yes, it's just like, oh, that number does not look right. I'm going to put a little bit extra work in whenever I get home, so whenever I get back here tomorrow, I'll be a lot less.
And that's something else that people don't know about wrestlers. Like, there's legitimately like no off season. There may be a time maybe where you're not wrestling, but you're always like looking at the scale, right?
Yeah. I mean, since this injury, this is the most time I've ever had off since I started wrestling.
Do you feel fat right now?
Very. whenever
you don't look fat. This is crazy. I get what you're saying.
I feel so fat. Like whenever I was like first got like out of the sling, the first thing I did, I got home, threw my sling down in my dad's truck and went straight for a run. It's the very first thing I did. I mean, I didn't get very far. But I went for a run. Like, I think I went 2 miles, but it probably took me, like, 18 minutes. Like, I was dying. Like, it was not fun. But, I mean, whenever I was in that sling, all I wanted to do was work out. Like, I was like, thank God I get a break. I've been wanting a break forever. I got in that sling, and I just wanted to get out of it instantly.
Let's tell people, like, how do you even get into this sling? Because we kind of, like, fast forward to the end of the state run. What happened?
So, I think it might have started at regionals. So the same kid that tore it, I was wrestling at regionals, which I think, like, so I was wrestling the match, and this was the match to see if I got to go to state. So if I won this match, I was automatically cleared. I went straight to state.
Yeah.
But if I lost, I would have had to wrestle one more to see if I would have gotten to go to state. It was a kid that I beat earlier in the season, but, I mean, you never know. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
So during that match, third period, about a minute or so left. I'm not sure. But, like, my shoulder, like, I could feel, like, he hit a sit out, and I felt it pop. And I just kept wrestling. Like it didn't click. Like, I could feel it hurt. I could feel my arm get weak. But, like, I just kept wrestling. I kept going. We went out of bounds. And I remember walking back to that center, like, I just felt it getting, like, weaker and weaker. And, like, I got back down, I stepped my stance up, and, like, my arm just collapsed. Like, I just felt it, like, collapse on me. So I put all my weight on my right arm, so I, like, had barely any weight, so I couldn't show him. Like, I didn't want to show him that I was injured. So, like, I put all my weight on my left arm, but still made it look like my right arm, so I still made it look like my left arm was still working. So I started walking, like, working with my right arm a lot, but I made it just look like I was working with my left. I eventually got away, and I just ran the clock out. So I ended up winning the match, but I went straight to the trainer, got ice, and I iced it. I remember I was like, I'm not going to say anything. I just want to get to state, get through my state run. But I could feel it. It started feeling like it was getting better during practices, and I could feel like it was getting a lot stronger.
So you didn't even let your coach know?
No. I mean, I let my mom and dad know, but like, it was just like, I just feel like I got to get ice in, it'll be fine. Like, that's all I said. So I got over to, well, state, and I could feel every match. I could feel it getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And I know which one. I know that first match I cut the third seed, first round, and I beat him close match, 2-1 match, like super close. And I had an easier match the second one because I got third in the region, so I had to wrestle a 2 seed or no 3 seed. I don't know. I'm confusing myself, but got a high seed in the tournament, so I had to wrestle up and then get to the semis, and that was a grind match. Like it was. Like, this was the first, so this kid has beat me all year, and I really wanted to win.
What school? An Allen school? Or
Klein.
TC. Is this one the coach's kid?
TC.
I don't know who TC is.
But he went to Boneyard with me, so like I've known him since Boneyard.
Okay.
And I've been really wanting to beat him all year, but I never got to do it. And it was a close match, closest match that I've had with him all year. But I could, like, I rode him out an entire period, which is, like, a big accomplishment for me because he was always able to get away from me.
Yeah.
So I rode him out an entire period, and I could tell that put a really big thing on my arm. And then I had another match that went into sudden death overtime. So that's, like, I don't even remember how many overtimes it is, but it's, like, 4-5 overtimes. And basically what overtime is the first round, first period is a minute, and if nobody's taken down, it goes to top and bottom goes, which is what was sucked because I always line up. So I normally line up with my left arm, like on their tight waist, which is what I have really good with, but like tape, like using that tight waist put a lot of wear and tear on my shoulder. Ended up losing that match, even though I should have won. But like I said, controversial calls, tons of stuff happens. So I get into that match and we're wrestling second period. The same kid that did it at regionals had hit a sit out, which is what he did earlier, and I could feel it. Like you can see, like I have the video, you can see it pop out and pop back in. So like you can see something happen. And I instantly knew, like I straight just fell flat on my face, started holding my shoulder, rolled over my back, I was kicking my legs. I had like a minute 30 of injury time. The trainer came over, was helping me out a little bit, and like we had like 10 seconds left. He's like, you gotta make a decision now, do you wanna keep going? So I said, I mean, last match of state, last match of the season, why not? Let's just get it done. Let's go try and win this. I think I was down by like 1 or 2 points. I ended up scoring a couple. Even with the torn up shoulder, you can tell like I'm resting it on my thigh, like I'm trying to like get as much rest in with it, like try to use it as little as possible, but I ended up still using it. I ended up losing by 2 points. I was devastated, but I mean, I was struggling to walk to this trainer after. Like I had to get like my teammate to carry my stuff to the trainer for me.
And you ended up finishing 6th, you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, and this is with an injured wing going into the state, you know, championships against the biggest and the best in Texas. Is this TC guy, is he around next year?
No, he was a senior.
He was a senior, okay. So we had a little bit of that man strength going for him, too.
Yeah, he was big, too. He's gotten a lot of weight. Like, he was way bigger than me. Like, he's probably cutting, like, double the weight I was. So he was huge.
Yeah, man, that puts a strain on the body. Like, sometimes it's like it gets to the point of diminishing returns, right? Like, I like your ideology best. Stick close as you can, you know, to the weight. Minimize the effects of the weight loss. You know, live healthy, and you're gonna be fine. Now, tell me, going into your junior year, not your junior year, your senior year, what is the outlook like? Because you had surgery. It's not like it was just like a minor injury, and it's like, hey, Caleb, take 2 weeks off, and you'll be fine. Like, you went under the knife. What did they do to you?
So I had a Bankart tear and a slap repair. So that's, I'm fairly certain those are both labrum tears. So one of them in the front, one of them's in the back. I have 2 scars in the front and 1 on the back. They didn't even know I had a slap repair or a slap tear until I went in under the knife.
Yeah.
So they saw the MRI and they're like, yeah, you have a Bankart tear, which is what they thought it was. But so they ended up doing that and they went in, they were like, oh, he has another tear. So they had to repair 2 things on my shoulder. And I think it was like a 5 anchor repair in my shoulder.
Okay, so you have some things drilled into your muscles now to anchor them into your shoulder bones or the tendons and ligaments, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What was the recovery time on that? Like, how long were you incapacitated?
So I was in a sling for 6 weeks with no movement. All I got to take it off for was putting on clothes and taking showers. Like, I had to sleep with it on.
Man, and it's kind of crazy. Like, we take for granted. It like, all the things we do with our shoulders.
And, like, even putting on a sock, like, even whenever I was able to take my sling off, like, I had to learn to put a sock on with one hand. Because, like, I was, like, it was a struggle to just move my arm, like, past, like, this. Like, just straight down. Like, so, but, I mean, over time, I started to build up, and it got better over time, but...
Did the doctor say that you're supposed to be bigger and better when this is all through, or...
I mean, he said it's supposed to be a full repair as long as you treat the surgery right and the repair right, which I did for the sling part. Whenever I went in, he goes, nice, it's stiff, that's good, that's what you're supposed to do. Now you need to go get it loose and nimble while on PT.
All right, man. How long do you feel before, like, you get back to your normal self? Because right now... I remember you saying when you were jogging over to the house, like, oh man, I'm winded a little bit. And
yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy because I know I was in such good shape. Like, before season, I ran a 10-mile race. After that, I wasn't even that winded. Like, it was crazy. Like, I could felt like I could probably run a marathon that day, but I mean, it was only a 10-mile race.
Only?
Yes. But it's crazy to think that I'm saying only. Now I can probably barely run 4 miles without bending over and just about dying.
Yeah. What perspective have you gained from having, you know, a lot of your mobility and a lot of your youth and just your toughness, all that robbed from you for a 6-week period? Like, you've had a lot of time to be in your head.
I mean, it was crazy. Like, I started to fall down. Like, I didn't recognize myself because I could see myself going fat. Like, I started losing, like, all, like, my muscles. Like, I could see it just fading away. And I hated it. Like, every day, I was just like, I want to go run. I need to go work out. I want to go do something. But, like, you're just not allowed to.
How did you fill your time?
I felt so lazy. Like, all I could do, like, I wanted to go outside and do stuff all the time. Like, I wanted to go fishing, but I wasn't able to. I wanted to go do stuff. Like, all I could do was just sit inside, watch TV, play video games.
So you filled your time with that? Like, you...
Like, there's nothing else I could do. Like, homework, like, that's all I was really able to do.
Did your parents kind of hold you to that?
No, I mean, they didn't, but, like, that's all I knew I knew. That's all I knew I could do. Because, I mean, they didn't want me going out.
Yeah.
Because I know myself, I would end up taking the sling off. Like, my friends would be playing football and be like, no, screw it, I'm going to take it off.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes to, you know, like, the next point, man. Like, let's talk about, like, all the good things wrestling does for you, because most people would have said, you know, fuck it, we're going to go ahead and take it off and we're going to go play, or I'm going to go swimming, or I'm going to do this and go do that. Obviously, discipline, you know, is one of the things that comes with wrestling. Give me a few others, but dive into discipline first.
So, I mean, it builds incredible discipline. Like, you gotta make sure to watch your weight at all times. Like, if you bust weight, like, that is the worst thing you can do in wrestling. Like, even worse than probably getting pinned. Like, busting weight is the worst thing you can do, because that shows that your discipline is not good. So, like, it shows that you're not very disciplined. So, I mean, discipline is a great thing. It's perseverance. Like, it shows you that no matter what happens, you always can get better and stronger and come back the next time and try to persevere and beat that kid that time. Hard work, determination, just like, I mean, it's a solo sport. Like, you go out there, it's you and the other kid. There's nobody else helping you. So it's you, the other kid, and you just gotta go. It's what you've trained for, and you just gotta keep going and going and going.
Being a wrestler, is there anything that really scares you now?
Not really too much. I mean, I know that, like, if it comes down to it, I mean, I know that I can handle my own, yeah.
Have you ever had to use your wrestling, man, just out of maybe defending someone else's, you know, protecting them, maybe stepping up for your little sister because someone... Well,
that's different. That's just like it's a... You haven't had to do that yet, though? Like, I had to do it before. Like, you just step in between them. You say not to do this again. Like, just don't mess with them. Like, it's just like I'm just telling them, don't mess with them. I don't want to do anything. Just don't mess with them. So, I've only had to do that one time, though.
You're a real, like, nice-looking kid, though. I could imagine someone's going to say... You know what, man? I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. They wouldn't believe that you have the toughness.
I know, because I don't even have the cauliflower ear. I don't know what it is. I've been doing this for, 9 years? Still haven't gotten
this
cauliflower
ear. This is true. I was going to ask, do you wear the headgear?
I always wear my headgear. It's part of... So I have really weird superstitions. Like, super weird. Every day, I'm not kidding you, every day, it has to go right sock, left shoe, right shoe. Every time I put my shoes on.
When did that start?
I don't know. Ever since... I have no clue what it is. I have no clue. And I have to wear the same outfit for wrestling, so I have the exact same outfit every time.
Do you think about it, or is it just happening automatically?
Automatically. Like, it's just like, I have to do this. Like, it's such a weird superstition. Like, it's like, so, you know the metal poles in between doorways?
Yes.
Like, every time I walk by one, I have to smack it. I don't know what it is. I have to smack it every time I walk through it. I don't know what it is. I just smack them every time.
You got a pinch of OCD.
And then, like, yeah, it's weird. There's, like, a pillar before I go up these stairs, and I have to always go to the right of it. So I don't know what it is, so.
Well, you know what? Like, in doses and in bits, like, it's an asset, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, a type of thing where it's, like, you have to do this. It's, like, my daily routine. So I got, like, a daily routine that I have to do every day. And that's it right there.
Yeah, well, imagine, again, that helps in a sport, you know, that's a gladiator sport that's very repetitive, that's tough on your body, like, that's based on routine. Like, I'm sure you've hit a double leg, you know, a million times at this point, right?
Probably. Close to it.
And you got another million more if you're going to be doing it, you know, as a senior and at the college level. Like, is that your goal, to go wrestle at the college level?
100%. That's the goal you got to have, because, I mean, that's the highest you get to go unless you go to the Olympics.
Yeah, well, you can always have a career as a fighter.
Yeah, I mean, that is something I've always thought about.
I know you've been watching your boys, you know, Joe and Josh, man.
I know, I've been watching them. I've just been, like, loving UFC. Like, I just, like, at lunch, I'll pull up YouTube and I'll just watch UFC. Like, that's just, like, my favorite thing to do now, is just watch UFC fights.
Well, the best base If you ask, you know, 9 out of 10 mixed martial artists, they'll tell you the best base is
Joe Rogan. Even Joe Rogan says it. Like, that's what he says. Like, he went to a wrestling practice. He said, "I'm never doing that again." Because, like, the way we work out, like, it's so intense, not many people can do it.
Well, they can. Like I said, I dipped my toe in there one time, and I'm going to try and go dip my toe in there a couple more times just because it's good for you, right? But the best base, like, y'all have the weight cutting down, so you're used to making weight. The intensity of the practices, super, super similar. You know, you just add in the strikes. And just, like, the mindset, the perseverance, being able to have a camp, like, all those things translate. You know, and I'm looking at you, and you're long. What are you going to wrestle at? 40 this year?
I have no clue. It's just the plan is get as big as possible and then see what I get up to.
What do you think? Like, if you were a guessing man, where do you think you're going
to
be?
I would want to get to at least 144.
That's where you want to wrestle at?
That's at, like, 38 to 44 is where I want to be.
And to me, that sounds like a good idea because you're allowing yourself to grow. You're not depriving yourself of nutrients.
That's what I've done every year. So, 8th grade year, do you, I think I might have told you, do you remember what I weighed 8th grade year wrestling at state?
115 or 112?
86 pounds.
Oh my God, I overshot by 20 pounds.
I was 86 pounds. When what I was freshman year?
Wait, 112.
What about 120?
Jesus, you like grew another leg.
Mm-hmm. I grew, I was working out all summer. So, like, I was working out, or quarantined. So, like, the quarantine there gave me an extra break, and I got big. Like, I grew.
Yeah, but it wasn't a negative. Like, you allowed your body to catch up. I feel like sometimes, like, when I see some people, it's like they never give their body an opportunity to grow. Your body wants to grow. It's screaming at you. It's like, yes. Feed me. I want to eat more. I want to sleep. I need to grow.
Which is what I'm doing right now. Every time I get home, I eat whatever's left over. I go upstairs and go to sleep, and then I hear dinner, and I go downstairs, and I eat, and I go back upstairs and go to sleep.
You can fall asleep on a dime like that?
Yes. Like, my head hits the pillow, and I'm out.
This is like a special talent you have.
Well, at least whenever I get home from school. Sometimes after dinner, I go upstairs, and my mind runs, and I listen to a podcast. But
is it the intensity of, like, the practices, or it's like right now when you're hurt, you can still go to sleep?
That's right now. Like, I can just I go home. Like, I think it's because I'm grounded. I can go home and just pass out.
Well, yeah, that is something that occurs. Like, when you're in a growth phase, we get incredibly sleepy. So you're just listening to your body, because a lot of teenagers fight that. They're like, oh, I'm not going to sleep.
No, I like to go... No, the latest I stay up on weekends is like 12 a.m. Or, yeah, 12. About 12.
Yeah, that's plenty, right? Yeah. Anything else good?
And then I'll end up waking up at 10 o'clock. So I'll get plenty of sleep.
Where do you see yourself wrestling at?
Next year?
Like, not then, like, at the college level.
Anywhere. Like, I'm basically just, like, I just want to go wherever I think best suits me. So, like, I want to go into sports medicine for college. So, whichever one has, like, a really good sports medicine program, so I'd want to go.
You seem to have learned a lot about the anatomy, too. Like, when you were describing the shoulder injury, and you were being very specific about the places, like, has this injury given you a reason to kind of, like, study the human anatomy and understand what you're doing more?
Before my injury, I never thought about it. I've never thought, like, this is a recent thing. So, like, whenever I was out there injured, like, whenever the trainer came over to me, like, I knew that, like, they had been in some sort of sport. Because, like, I feel like they knew what to say. Mm-hmm. Like, what I was thinking was what they were pretty much saying. So, it's, like, that's what I want to, like, be. I want to help, like, people, whenever they get injured, know what they want to hear. So that they can help us, like, get through it. And, like, if they want to go out and keep playing, they can go out and keep playing if I think they can do it. If I really don't think they can, I don't want them to go back out there.
Yeah.
So I want to keep them safe.
Yeah, definitely. And athletics is it's a marathon, right? It's not necessarily a sprint. Like, sometimes we have to protect our athletes from themselves.
Yes.
Do you see that on the wrestling mat sometimes? Like,
All the time.
You shouldn't be out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the key is? Because, like, you even said, you're like, I didn't tell my coaches. I'm not telling nobody.
You just, like, whatever you think you can do, you probably shouldn't be doing. Like, you should talk to your coaches so they can help you out. Because what I did was not smart. I should not have done that. But, I mean, I ended up doing it. Like I said, tore my shoulder. But, I mean,
could it be a blessing in disguise, giving yourself this?
I do think it can, because it really helped me realize how much I'm going to miss wrestling. Like, this is the most I've ever missed it. Like, it's always like, oh, I want to get away, I want to take a break. But whenever you're out of it, it's like, I want to get back. Like, all I think about is getting back.
Yeah, you're a hunting dog. The worst thing you can do to a hunting dog is don't let him hunt.
Like, all I wanted to do is work out. Like, I can barely get, like, 4 push-ups in.
And right, now that's it.
It's awful for me. Like, I can get knee push-ups in, but, like, normal push-ups, I can get, like, 4 or 5.
Has that messed with your psyche any? Like, have you dipped into any kind of depression, knowingly or unknowingly, you think?
I think I did for a little while. For a little while, I could tell that I wasn't normal. Like, I could tell, like, I was, like, I wouldn't say sadder. Like, I wasn't sad, but, like, I could tell that I wasn't myself.
Yeah, there's a fog that starts to creep in whenever stuff like that occurs.
But all I know is it instantly faded whenever I went on that run. Like, I haven't felt the same. Like, since I went on that run, it was gone. So all I needed to do was be able to go work out.
So you're very aware, too. Like, your body and your mind are very attuned with one another. And, like, just working with young people, especially, yeah, there's a lot of depressed people. There's a lot of people that have anxiety at the junior high and high school level. Exercise is one of the biggest recommendations. A lot of times those people do not exercise enough, or they're not outside getting vitamin D, which enhances their mood and makes them feel better. So a part of that might have been you being outside, you know?
Mm-hmm. It might have been, because, I mean, I love being sweaty and hot and dripping in sweat, because that's what I've grown up doing at this point. Like, my happiness is out on that mat.
Yeah, and you're pissy if you don't get on that mat, aren't you?
Yes. Because it's like built up anger. So, like, it, like, feel like I just have anger and all this stuff built up inside of me that I can't release. So, like, it's all just building up, and I, like, working out releases it. So, it's like, over those 6 weeks, it just kept building and building and building. I had no way to release it. I felt whenever I went on that run, I feel like it just all released.
Did you dive into the coaching aspect of the game, Annie? Like, you relayed to me that you're going to go watch your sister, Kylie, go wrestle this weekend. Is it the state championships, yes, or national championships?
State.
And she's the next generation of Smith, you know. It's gifted generation with Kenzie. She's out there hitting the volleyball. But good for her, as long as she's happy, right? Yeah. But Kylie, man, she's a gladiator, and she's about to get out there and do the darn thing. Tell me about your sister and you coaching her maybe over the weekend.
I mean, I'd love to be in her corner if I could. I don't know if she's going to want me there, to be honest with
you. No, don't do that to your brother.
I'd love to be there with her. I mean, I would have loved to be in her corner, especially if it was me and my brother, because he's going to be going out with us. So, like, you can only have two coaches in your corner, so it would be awesome if we were both in her corner. I feel like that would be pretty cool.
Oh, my God, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Like, that's something that it may never happen again. You may never have another opportunity to make something like that happen again. Who's normally in her corner? Is it Coach Brett Camden and...
Coach Brett, normally Coach Brett or Coach Lindsay, because she's the girls' coach at College Park, and she's going to College Park with us next year, so.
Okay. And when you look at your sisters, like, next 4 years, is she someone that, as soon as she gets there at College Park, like, she's going to be giving state a run right off the bat?
Well, the people in her weight class now, like, she has all the older girls, and they're really good at her.
That's what I hear.
So, like, her weight class, whenever she's first going to get there, is going to be tough. She could do it, but it would be super tough. So I could see her winning state at least 2-3 times.
Yes. Hey, that's like on a bad year. Maybe win state 2 times. Holy smokes. Most people just want to make it to regionals or the state tournament, and we're talking about, she'll probably win 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. I had the tougher district and region my sophomore year, and probably the toughest state. So, I mean, my freshman year, I had the first place and the third place
region?
In my district. The kid who got first and third were in my district.
Oh, so these are people that you were facing off with, you know, on a regular basis. Mm-hmm.
And then in region...
Is that a blessing or a curse when it gets down to it?
It's a little bit of both. It keeps you working hard, because you got to beat them, you know?
Yeah, well, you're definitely right. Like, if you're the toughest guy in the room, you need to find another room.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, man. Well, before we get out of here, man, you got any shout-outs, you know, anyone you'd like to thank?
I mean, all my coaches that have ever helped me out. I mean, Coach Butte, Coach Brett, both Coach Bretts for starting me off and then get me through my youth career, and then Coach Butte pushing me through College Park High School, pushing me through my high school so far. My dad for taking me out to all these tournaments.
The mayor of the Woodlands.
Yes, my dad taking me out to all these tournaments, paying tons of money to get me out.
It's not a cheap sport, is it?
Mm-mm. All these national tournaments. I mean, national tournaments every other weekend, so.
That's what it seems like.
And then my mom for helping me keep my grades up.
Yeah, man. Did she ever try to pull you over there to Oak Ridge?
No, I would not want to go over there.
I ain't going over there.
I don't think she wants me over there.
Yeah, hey, it's a wonderful school, too. It's a wonderful school. She wants you over there at Coach Speed. Yes. What we're getting at.
Yes.
right. Well, I appreciate, you know, you coming by the show. I called you at the last minute. But after talking to Coach Eric, man, I was like, man, you know what? Let's get the dude over here. You know, and I know that you were hurt and that you may have some time available. If you weren't hurt, you'd probably be at practice or something.
Right. No, now. I would be going up to state right now with my sister.
You're going tomorrow, though, right?
Yes, I'm leaving tomorrow.
All right, man. Was that the original plan, or did you change plans of just...
Well, I mean, my mom is going up tomorrow, and I was going to go up there with them tonight. But, I mean, if I would rather be on this podcast than driving up there tonight.
What do you think about being on a podcast? Because you say you listen to them all the time. Mm-hmm. What was your experience like?
I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's like, it just seemed... Because, I mean, I love talking, so... It would be great to just be able to fall asleep to myself one night.
Hey, dude, we're going to put this out on Sunday, and you'll be able to fall asleep to yourself on Sunday evening. It's pretty cool, though, man. Like, if you have the gift of gab the way that you say you do, and I do believe it, dude, you may have to think about, you know, just doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have talked to you, man, and you have an extensive network of people in the wrestling world. Like, I think you can do this and do this quite well.
That'd be awesome to... Going to for a little bit.
Yeah, man.
Try it out.
And dude, how cool was this? Like, we just chopped it up for an hour, and it doesn't even seem like an hour.
No, it does not. I mean, I looked down at that clock, and I feel like it was like 5 minutes ago that we started, but it's 51 right now.
Yeah, dude. This when I get through with this, too, it's like two things happen. I feel like I just read a book, because you get to learn someone's story, and then it feels like therapy. It's like I just got through just talking to someone for an hour. I feel like I should be paying you like $150 for this hour of therapy.
No, this is fun. So, I mean, you would have to pay me to do this. I would come back and do this again gladly.
Oh, we're going to do this again after you win state, man.
Or that'd be awesome.
However you do, man. So, thanks for coming on. And thank y'all for listening. Y'all take care. Have a blessed day. And go out and be that someone. Hey, I wanted to say a special thank you for listening to this episode of the Be Someone Podcast. If you would like to find more content from me, the Coach Chris Ortiz, you can find me at CoachOrtiz.com. I'm an author. I've released 5 children's books. We have the other podcast in our vast library. And I'm going around doing a little bit of speaking here and there too. So if you're looking for me, you can find me at CoachOrtiz.com. Y'all take care. Have a blessed day and go out and be that someone.
This is Blue July, and you're listening to the Be Someone Podcast. Lights looking bright, the H got the vibe. She's my name on the signs, it's my time to shine. When I was cruising 45 and it crossed my mind that I shine like the sun and that I'll be someone.
Lights, camera, session, use the flow molasses, blue the line my fashion, future bright and glasses, applause from the masses.
This is the Be Someone Podcast.